There's something that happens to all of us in this life, and that is the opportunity to have choices. The choices in our life boil down to two simple things: whether we will say yes or whether we will say no. Now, every day we make so many decisions. It's hard to even put a number on the amount of decisions that we make in a day. And all of them, in some way or fashion, end up impacting our lives. Take, for example, what if I decided to skip coffee in the morning when I was out of work one day? I can tell you the disaster that would happen. Of course, I'm being a little facetious, but there are decisions that we make in life, though, that are more important than drinking coffee. And sometimes our options can seem gray. They can seem clouded, unpredictable. And this may make us wary to actually make a choice. Sometimes we think that we may know what the outcome of our choices will be. And then we end up being totally surprised by the outcome. Whatever the case may be, it is our duty to make choices. There's no crystal ball, but rather a mixture of experiences that we draw on: wisdom, understanding, feelings, and intuition. But as Christians, we have an extra duty to make sure that our choices are motivated and inspired by God, by His Word, and His Word gives us numerous examples of guidance and how we should choose what we will do. There's a scripture in James 4 that I've always found interesting. It's James 4 in verses 13, and we'll read to verse 17. James 4 and verse 13 to 17, and the title of my Bible says, "Do not boast about tomorrow." And James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Now, do we get the drift of what James is trying to say here? Our lives are short. We only get a limited amount of time, and therefore a limited amount of choices. The plans that we make are just that, just plans. We cannot say whether or not they will come to fruition. Rather, we should be seeking God's will for us in our matters of our lives. The temporariness of our lives should motivate us, even more so than in this regard. Let's look at Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." You see, we need God to show us the way we should go. Otherwise, we will just end up rambling through this life. You know, it's not wrong to make plans and work towards them. In fact, we should be doing that. But we have to include God in these plans, to ask Him about how we should be trying to accomplish these plans. What are His thoughts in this matter? If you will, turn over to 1 Kings 18, and we'll look at verse 20. 1 Kings 18 and verse 20, and this is the story about Elijah. And he's right before the children of Israel. And this is what he says in verse 20. Verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him, "Not a word." How long will you waver between two opinions? This verse is something that I've often thought about because it's so simple in thought. You know, Elijah here is making it abundantly clear to Israelites that they were avoiding making a decision. He was telling them, choose between God or choose between a false God. It was their choice. It was their opportunity to make a decision. And yet they didn't answer him one word. And so once it was Elijah's turn to call on God for help, upon his offering that was thoroughly soaked with multitudes of buckets of water, God answered him, and in a powerful way. Let's look at this in verses 36 to 40. Verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" You know, Elijah's prayer and God's action forced the Israelites to make a choice. It was mighty, and it was powerful. And it was quite the scene, as I'm sure we can all imagine. But God doesn't usually work in this manner. Instead, he leaves it to us to decide if we want to include him in our lives, in everything that we do. Let's look at this in Joshua 24 and verses 14 and 15. Joshua had spent his life working with Moses, and then when it was his turn to lead the children of Israel. But let's look at what he says at the end of this book, or near the end. Joshua 24 and beginning in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, this is what we choose to do at the time of our baptism. We choose whether we are going to continue to live in this world or whether we are going to live after God's ways. And what did the Israelites answer in verse 16? "And the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods.'" But then you hop right down into the book of Judges. And what happens? They go off time and time again to serve other gods. This is something that is often talked about in the Bible because it's something that happens repetitively, not just at the time of the Israelites. Let's look at Matthew 6 and verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24, Christ says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. We are told we can't serve two masters. We can't put anything in the line of what we are trying to do. If we do, we end up loving that thing or those things more than we love God. You know, we can make the argument that we do love God, but if our consistent actions are that of sin, then we do not have the love of the Father in us. If you will, let's look at it. 1 John 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. First John 2 and verses 1, and we'll read to verse 6. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and did not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And he who abides in him ought to himself also to walk just as he walked." John distinctly points out that Jesus Christ, our advocate, our mediator, is there for us when we do slip up in sin. But our attitude must be that of overcoming. If our attitude is of, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I can do it again," then the love of God is not being perfected in us. Instead, we should be learning to love the laws of God and the effects that they have in our lives. You know, John points out that if we want to know that God is with us, working through us, then we have to tirelessly keep working at the commandments so that they are in our minds at all times. Now, it's easy to get caught up living in this life and forget things. You know, John realized this, and he cautioned us in verses 15 and 17 of chapter 2 here. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Coming to the point of doing God's will at all times is our ticket. Paul, too, had this understanding and worked his life with this in mind. 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 15 to 22 accurately portrays this thought. It's 2 Corinthians 1. Verses 15 to 22. He says, "And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes, but no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Salvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Verse 21, now he who has established us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. He who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, Paul very thoroughly understood the plan of God. And he was able to understand what, where, and how he was to preach. God's plans are unfailing. Rather, it's our inability or lack of reliance to include him that ends up causing issues. Brethren, we choose how we will live our lives. That is up to you, and it is up to me. What we spend our time doing is up to us. How we choose to portray ourselves and what we stand for is our choice. The plans we make for our lives, they are indeed ours. But without God's approval, we will fail. Do we want to obey God? Yes or no? Those are the two choices that we all have.